Let's hear that again. Amen. Amen. I don't know how anybody can be silent this morning. Yeah. Yeah. Hey, I'm telling you right now, if God is blessing you and you need to shout an amen or praise the Lord, that's okay with this guy, okay? That's okay with me. I need to know this morning. At some time during this past 7 days, so since the last time that you and I have gathered together inside this house, inside this place, has your God view changed or been challenged at all in the last 7 days? Yeah, all right. Now think about this in your heart. Now, I know I'm opening up a door there, so 30 testimonies stand up there. But think about this in your heart here, okay? It's probably because, all right, if it has changed or been challenged at all this week, it's probably because there was something negative that happened to you during the last 7 days. Something negative, something of the world came in, something of the world or a challenge, or maybe it was a person or as a finance or as a sickness or whatever it may be. Something came into your life and it got in front of you and all of a sudden you were challenged. Is this thing that is in front of me, is this bigger than my view of who God is? And did you in that moment, did you look at whatever it was that was in front of you and say, no, my God is bigger than this? Whatever it is, it doesn't matter. Whatever it is, God is bigger and God is stronger. If you remember, we said this about A.W. Tozer. He said that the most important thing about a person is what they think about when they think about God. Now remember this, is that if we were to take this picture of God, if your God view hasn't changed at all from when you first came to know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, then we still have the now I lay me down to sleep or God is good, God is great kind of God. And so whenever that challenge comes before you, there is a very small picture of God. And the challenge always overshadows the picture of who God is. Now, we can have a great big picture of God, especially on a day like today where we've been singing about Him and we've been learning about Him and we've been praying about Him, and this picture of God is all of a sudden great big and huge on a Sunday morning, but then we cross the threshold of the church at about 12:15. And this great big picture that we have of God and how we worship Him and strong and mighty and all these things and vastness of Him, some reason at around 12 o'clock, 12:15, sometime in there, we cross the threshold, and all of a sudden we go back to this little picture of who God is. We've got to change our view of a microscopic God. It's not microscopic. God is much bigger than that. Last week we said this, is that maybe we've moved on a little bit from that type of a thought process of who God is, maybe a small God. And now we think this, is that, well, we think that God has two goals in mind. His first goal is to do this. His first goal is for Him to be a caregiver for us. You know, this the God that says, I love you, I forgive you, I want to give you comfort, I want to give you peace, I want to give you happiness, and I want to just care for you. And then we're supposed to have this really, really happy life all the time. Or we see God as a rule giver. If you remember this from last week, the rule giver. Maybe He's the God that, He's the one that made the Ten Commandments. Therefore, there is this square that's around me with all these commandments. And if I stay inside these commandments, then God will bless me and I'll be okay with God. But if I step outside of these, then I can certainly expect the wrath and the judgment of God. Now, don't misunderstand me. Is God a caregiver? Full of love and peace and comfort. Yes. Everyone shake your head. Yes. Okay. Yes. He is a caregiver. Okay. Yes. Is God a rule giver? Yes. Shake your head. Yes again. Okay. Yes. Do not misunderstand me on this. Okay. He is both of those things. But if we hold Him to that, just the caregiver, if God is just a caregiver and we just get something from Him, then your prayer life is going to be very, very weak. Because the only thing that you're doing is praying to get something from God, to get some kind of comfort from Him. And that's not real relationship. If all that we're doing is just the rule giver side, then we're going to be just like this all the time. We're not going to have the freedom to worship Him. Because you see, His law is for us to love Him and to love each other. And there's some freedom in that. You see, I want to worship a God that is big and that is huge and that is magnificent. I want to worship a God that I can't figure out. If I've got Him figured out because He's a caregiver, because He's a rule giver, then that's a God that's just too small. And that's the wrong God view. Turn with me to the book of Exodus chapter 2. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, I want you to turn to Exodus chapter 2. Today we're going to be looking at a bigger picture of God. Today we're going to be looking at a panoramic picture of God. We've looked at God in a microscopic way. We've looked at God in a distorted way. Now we're going to look at God in a really, really big way. In Exodus chapter 2, you may be familiar that we're going to be getting into a story about Moses and Israel. We're going to be talking about the Egyptians and how they were released from there. And we're going to take a look at how really big God is. We're going to talk about the amazement of God. We're also going to talk about there's some human interaction and even some human drama that's going on here. But we need to see this, how Israel interacted with God, how they viewed God. That is what was going to lead them on an adventure with the Almighty. That's going to be an exciting place to be because we need to have this bigger picture of who God is. Exodus chapter 2. What we find is this. Catch us up on the story here. Make sure we're all on the same page. We've got the nation of Israel in slavery to Egypt. Okay? And they are crying out to God, please save us. Please save us. Get us out of this misery. And God seems to be a very distant God. As a matter of fact, it almost seems that God has forsaken them. But the thing is, as we're going to read here in just a minute, every single prayer that was given by that Israeli nation as their captives inside of Egypt, God heard every single word that was coming from their lips. God was listening. Exodus chapter 2, start at verse number 23. Let's see what it says. It says, during that long period, the king of Egypt died, and the Israelites groaned under their slavery, and they cried out, and their cry for help, because of their slavery, went up to God, and God heard their groaning, and He remembered His covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. So God looked on the Israelites and was concerned about them. Now, before God could act, so we've got to get a big picture of what's going on here. We've got Israel down here in slavery crying out to God. And God sees what's going on. He hears it. He understands it. And He is about to act. But before God acts, He has to bring another man into the picture. This man's name is Moses. We know him as a hero. Where's Moses at? He started off in Egypt. Actually, in a good place. He started off in a palace. Then Moses had a little bit of an issue and he killed a man, committed murder. Because of that, Moses was now in the land of Midian. It's in a desert. He's already gotten married, and quite honestly, Moses is saying, hey, I'm far from that. I'm living my life. Nothing else needs to change. I'm just kind of good right where I am. Until a day when Moses is out and about and he sees this fire going on. You see, there's a bush that's on fire, and he says, man, I got to go check this thing out. What is up with this bush? Because it's on fire, but it's not being consumed. Because the God of heaven says, you know what? I need to come down, and I need to talk to you, because I need you to get a bigger view on who I am. Look at Exodus chapter 3. If you have, just go ahead and flip over a chapter there. In Exodus chapter 3, in verse number 3, it says this. It says, so Moses thought, I will go over, and I will see this strange sight. Why the bush does not burn up? And when the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, here I am. Do not come any closer, God said. Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. Then he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. God did this. God called Moses to be the one to lead the Israelites out of Egypt, to be the one to lead them out of slavery. But then God shows great patience with Moses because there is a battle going on. No, not me. Yes, I've chosen you. No, not me. Yes, I've chosen you. But what about this? No, I've chosen you. Because God said, I see what's happening there. You are the one that I have chosen. So therefore, you've got to have a whole lot bigger picture of me to believe that I can do what it is that I said that I'm going to do, Moses. How many times are we struggling with God of saying, no, God, I don't think so. And God says, yes, but it's bigger than you think. But God, I don't know. I don't think I can. But it's bigger. I'm using you. You are the one that I have chosen. I have chosen you to do this. But God, it's so big. It's so huge. I don't think I can do it. And God says, you're right. You can't, but I can. You can't, but I can. Flip over another chapter, Exodus chapter 4, verse number 10. It says this, Moses said to the Lord, pardon your servant, Lord. Listen to the struggle here. Pardon your servant, Lord. I have never been eloquent, neither in the past nor since you have spoken to your servant. I am slow. I am slow of speech and tongue. The Lord said to him, who gave human beings their mouths? You just hear this from God? Who gave human beings their mouth? Moses, your argument is not valid, son. Who makes them deaf or mute? Who gives them sight or makes them blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now go, and I will help you speak, and I will teach you what to say. This happened at a burning bush. At that point right there, if God had not done anything else, Moses' God view just changed. What kind of testimony would that be for you or I to tell to our children's children about that day when we were outside and we saw this bush and we heard the voice of God? What kind of story would that be? Wouldn't that change a few people's views if they believed you? Wouldn't that change the view of some people? But God said, oh, son, this is just the beginning. This is just the beginning. Because you see, what Moses did was this. Moses said, all right, I'm not good at talking here. If I go back to Egypt, I'm actually a wanted man in Egypt because I killed a man. There is no self-help book in the world or scroll at the time that would have given Moses the boldness or the confidence to go back in front of the Pharaoh and say, hey, I've got a message from God and you need to listen to me. There is nothing that would have caused that except he just had an encounter with the living God. That is why Moses is so bold. His view of God changed. He was no longer a God that he had just learned about from his parents. He was now a God that he encountered. When we encounter God, all of a sudden, there's a strange boldness that begins to arise in us. Because it's not us. It's him working through us if we will allow that. Moses goes to a Pharaoh. Let my people go. If you know the story, if you've seen the movie, you will know this, is that there are 10 plagues that come across Egypt. Now it's not just Moses engaging. Oh, now we have two nations, Israeli as well as an Egyptian nation, that sees the power of God and what is happening. And all of a sudden, their view of God begins to change because of the plagues. We could stop the story right there, and in and of itself, it would still be an awesome story. A bush that doesn't burn up, and now all of a sudden, there's plagues and everything's beginning to happen. But then, God says, and now it's time to go. After the 10th plague, after the plague of death, God said, you remember when you were crying out to me for all those years? Now. now is the time. You may leave. You are free. You are free to go. Is that the end of the story? Could that be it? That right there would be really awesome. We could say this could be a biblical truth, and we could stand on that and say, God has delivered his people. Praise be to God. Now let's go on out and let's go get some lunch now because God is so awesome. But he said this, no, I'm not finished yet. Because you see, I'm big. You need to have a bigger picture of who I am. You see, you have prayed for deliverance. Think about it in your own minds, in your own hearts right now. What have you prayed for deliverance on? And know this, God may seem distant from you right now, but is he getting someone else in place to bring into your life that as God begins to work, your eyes are open to how big God is? And in a second, God says this, you are now delivered. That which plagues you is now gone. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. And Jesus says, but I'm not done yet. I'm not done yet. He says, there's more of me. But wait a minute, God. I thought that you were just my caregiver. I thought that you were the one that I came to and that I could pray when I have a problem. You're saying there's more of you? He said, you better hang on because there's a whole lot more of me. You see that cloud that's in front of you? Yeah, I see it. I've never seen something like that before, God. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to lead you. You don't even have to know where to go. I will take you there. You don't have to figure it out. I will show you where you can go. But what about at night, God? No problem. Watch this. The cloud turns into fire, and you can still follow me. Oh, somebody better start praising God right now, okay? Because is he moving on, right? Can you imagine if you have your child there beside you? His view, her view is being changed because can't you imagine as a father or as a mother, you say, watch this, it's about to happen. The sun's going down. You see the cloud? There it goes. It's now fire. We can stop the story right there. But Jesus says, there's so much more of me that you don't know yet. You see, because as they're watching the cloud turn to fire, as their view of God is changing, they have now been delivered, but now there's an Egyptian army coming back. That which plagues you that has been taken care of, has ever tried to come back in your life? Yeah, because it doesn't want to give up. Evil doesn't want to give up. Satan doesn't want to give up. He doesn't want to just release like that. Satan wants to keep pressing and he wants to keep pushing. So now we have an Egyptian army coming. Oh no, Lord, what do we do? That which had us before, we don't have enough weapons, God. We might have enough people, but I don't think we really know how to fight or anything. God, what do we do? He says, watch what I'm going to do. Moses, my servant, raise up your hands because we're about to walk through an ocean. And Jesus takes it, and God takes it, and he begins to split open an ocean. And God begins to make a path where there was no other path before. Have you felt like there is no choice in the world? That you see what's in front of you, you see what's behind you, and you say, I am trapped and there is nothing that's going on. And your God view is so small because the ocean is too big and you can't cross it. And God says, if you just believe, if you just understand, if you just allow me to, I'm going to do something that you wouldn't believe. You can't do this, but I can. And God says, I'm going to open it up. And the people walk across on dry ground. We can stop the story there, and it would be amazing, wouldn't it? But no, God says, and you know all those Egyptians that are plaguing you? You will never have to worry about them again, because look behind you. And as the last one touched the ground, and as the Egyptians entered into the sea, God said, all your problems are now gone. You will not have to worry about that anymore. Can we say yes to depression? Can we say yes to anything else that is plaguing us right now, that it can be drowned in an ocean, that we don't have to worry about it anymore? You don't have to control it because God is so big, so strong, and so mighty. There is nothing that my God cannot do. Amen? But now I'm hungry. I'm out here with a million of my relatives. Isn't much in a desert. Can't find Taco Bell and Arby's in a desert. And God said, you know what? You're not even going to recognize what I give you to eat. Because it's literally coming from my throne. I will feed you with what comes from my throne. And he gives you manna. And then we complain about that. Lord, I'd love to have more than the manna. Fine, I'll give you quail. I'll give you so much of it that it comes out your nostrils. I'll give you what you want. I'm still caring for you. But do you see he's bigger than a caregiver? God, the quail's kind of dry. I sure could use something to drink. But we're in a desert. There's no streams. There's no rivers. There's no clean water. I just, you know, we're getting thirsty, God. We can't live but maybe a couple days. God says, I'm going to spring that up from the water. Yet another miracle. To do what? To change our view of who God is. To see that he is so much bigger, that he is so much more mighty, that he is so much more strong. Now listen, we can continue to stop this story at any time. All that they asked for is, God, will you deliver us? And God says, not only will I do that, I'm going to expand your mind on who I am, because I need you to see that no matter what is coming to you, I am bigger than any problem whatsoever. I will take care of you. And then he says this, good old Moses, the one that God chose. He says, listen, he said, I'm caring about you on your physical needs. I'm making sure that your stomachs are fed and that you have enough water to drink. But God says this, he says, listen, you need to learn how to be in fellowship with one another. You see, you've been in slavery for so long, you've been under other people's authority. Some of us in here have been under the authority of the world when we need to come under the authority of a living God. Okay? This is where this rule giver part kind of comes in. You see, because God tells Moses this, he says, hey, I'm up here on this mountain called Sinai, and then Moses, I need you to come up here. Because I love these people so much. And there's a little bit of confusion going on here as to who they should worship and how they should worship and how they should react and interact with each other. So therefore, Moses, because of my love, I'm going to give you some guidelines, 10 of them as a matter of fact. And what they're going to show you, Moses, they're going to show you how to love me and how to love people. That's what they're going to boil down to, Moses. All that you asked for was deliverance. God said, I'm creating a life for you. That's going to be an awesome, awesome life. Moses comes down with the Ten Commandments, and you could read through the story and even what happens with that. But then he does something else, because you see, it's still not over yet. You see, there's so much in this story on our view of God. If we only take little bits here and there, we're going to miss it. But when we begin to put it sequentially into what happens, and you begin to say, oh my word, look at how big God is. They only asked for this. What is it that you're asking for? What is it that you're saying, God, I need deliverance from, Lord? I don't want to be in this place anymore. And God says, I'm going to completely blow your mind. Because I'm a whole lot bigger than you think I am. He tells Moses, he says this, he says, hey, the people are here in the camp and things are going fairly well. He says, but I need to talk to you. I need to talk to you like I've never talked to a man before. He says, I need you to go and set up this tent. We're going to call it a tent of meeting, God says. Because it's in this place that you are going to now meet me face to face, and I'm going to talk with you as one friend talks to another. Turn to Exodus 33:11. And let's read about an interaction between Moses and God. This goes beyond a burning bush. It goes beyond even getting the Ten Commandments from God up on Sinai. This is a whole nother view of God. Moses knew God's voice, but God said, you still don't know me yet. Exodus 33:11 says, the Lord would speak to Moses face to face as one speaks to a friend. Then Moses would return to the camp, but his young aide Joshua, the son of Nun, did not leave his tent. God showed up. He showed up in a burning bush. God showed up when a bunch of plagues and did a bunch of plagues. God showed up for deliverance. God showed up with the Red Sea. God showed up with food. God showed up with order and bringing it into the camp. God showed up face to face with Moses. And each and every time that is happening, each and every time this is occurring, what's happening to the nation of Israel is that they are getting a new perspective of God. Now, what is their response to that perspective? This is the challenge that you and I fall into. What is our response when God reveals himself in a new way? Do we just take it for granted and say, thank you, God, I deserve that, and do we walk on? Or do we take it and deny it and say, oh, certainly God wouldn't do that? Or do we fall into his arms and say, God, I don't understand it. I don't get it. I'm a puzzle piece and you've got a bigger picture. So God, whatever you're choosing for me to do, God, put me in your bigger picture. And I don't care what it is. I don't care what you would have me do. God, I'm not going to argue with you. I'm not going to try to take control. I'm just going to do whatever you say needs to be done. Because God, I believe that much, that you're not just going to answer a prayer. God, I believe that I'm part of a bigger picture. Picture that is your plan and your will. Therefore, God, I will do what it is that you are calling me to do. And God said, I'm not done yet. He's still not done. He grabs Moses again. He says, I've talked to you face to face as a friend. He says, Moses, I need to do something else. He says, I need to show you my heart. He takes Moses up on another mountain. He says, listen, son, can't see me face to face. No one's going to see me face to face. They're going to, they would die. But God says this in Exodus 34:6. He says, and he passed in front of Moses proclaiming, the Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness. God said this, Moses, you get to see me. You get to see me. He was a guy that murdered an Egyptian hanging out in Midian. A married man just trying to live his life, trying to make a living. Little did he know that the God who created him was going to share his heart with him as he continued to open up Moses' eyes and his heart to how big and how strong and how mighty God the Father is. He's more than a caregiver. Yes, he gave them quail and he gave them manna, but God is so much more than that. He's more than a rule giver. He gave them the Ten Commandments, but those were given directions on how to live in harmony with God and with people. And God said, I am so much bigger. We need to get this morning, folks, all right? We need to get this, church, is that God is so much bigger. If we continue to put him in a small picture, no matter what happens to you, it will always overshadow your relationship with Jesus Christ. Because we're not relying on him. We see what it is that's before us instead of a God that says, I can take care of it. We hear about these heroes. We see about we see what God did with Moses. We see what God has done with the disciples in the Bible. And we begin to say this, you know what, that's fine, that's great. And you know, it'd be pretty awesome to have a story like that. But what about right now, Pastor? What about right now with what it is that I'm going through? You know what I think? Probably not. I could be wrong on this. I don't think that there is anyone in this congregation right now that holds the cure for cancer. Now, maybe there is, and I just don't know it. But I don't think. That'd be pretty extraordinary. I don't think that there's anyone in here, I don't think, that holds the cure for hunger across the world. I don't think anybody in here has that extraordinary ability yet, or even in here right now. And so you may be looking at me kind of like Moses and say, you know what, Moses just seemed like a pretty extraordinary guy and how God used him and all the leadership and everything that went through there. I'll tell you something. I believe that for us in here, all right, I think that I'm a pretty ordinary guy. I think that maybe we would think of ourselves as just ordinary people. Nothing necessarily extraordinary about us. But God can do something extraordinary with an ordinary person. We don't have to know how to cure things. We don't have to know how to deliver things. We don't have to know this stuff. All that we need to know is the one who can do it, and then we need to come together in relationship with him and then be obedient and be free enough to say, whatever you want to do, I am not in control. You are. God is big enough to do extraordinary things in ordinary lives. If you know your history books, there's a guy by the name of George Washington Carver. He was born in the late 1800s, lived until, I think it's 1946. George Washington Carver was an African American, and he lived in the South and then a little bit into Kansas. He was trying very hard to get an education. He was trying hard to work his way through, and he would work in with plants, and he would actually do some art also, and just trying to get money to get an education. He finally got into some universities, and he was really, really good at growing peanuts. And so he was so good at what he did in the realm of agriculture, and he had an education to follow it. He worked very hard to do this, that he actually found himself in front of a Senate agricultural committee. So here's this man. This is the time of segregation and just a lot of things happening in America that weren't right. But he's sitting in front of a Senate agricultural committee, and they ask him this question. They said, George Washington Carver, they said, how do you know so much about this peanut? His response to it was this: everything that I know about this peanut, he said, I found in the Bible. It's a true story. And he said, and the committee looks at him and they said, what do you mean you found this in the Bible? This is his quote. He says, the Bible does not teach anything regarding the peanut, but it told me about God, and God told me about the peanut. He got it right. He got it right. He wasn't focused on a peanut. He was focused on God. And he knew that if his focus was on God, then automatically he's going to know about a peanut. Now, some of you in here would say, Pastor, that's great, but I don't have a peanut. I've got an elephant. And he's standing in front of me. You know what? God created an elephant too. The more that we take our focus, the more that we shift it on where it is supposed to be, where it's on a God that is so big and so strong and so mighty, and there is nothing in this world that God cannot do. There is nothing that can come against you. There is nothing that can challenge you. It is all about Him. He can, and all that we need to do is just change our view. We just need to see Him a lot bigger. George was right. I like that story about George. It's not about trying harder. Some of us in here would say this: I just need to try real hard. You know, this situation I'm in, this problem I'm facing, whatever the negativity is that has plagued you over the last week and maybe even the week to come, we say this: I just need to try harder. I'm telling you this, if you continue to focus on what it is that is in front of you, you will miss the bigger God. Instead of focusing on whatever is negative that is plaguing your life right now, I want to challenge you this week. Will you take on this challenge? I want to challenge you this week to get your eyes off the problem and get your eyes on to a God who is able to do abundantly and beyond whatever we could ask or think. All that they wanted to do was be delivered. Yes. That's all that they wanted to do in Israel. And God said, I'm going to do a whole lot more than that. Yes. But could it be that God is using this thing that is negative in your life to bring about His glory? You're saying, how can that happen? I don't know. I'm not God. And I'm all right with that. All I know is, God, you said it. I believe it. That settles it. If you say it, if you say it, and it's in your word, then all I need to do is I just need to trust more in you. I need to join myself in relationship with you. Then everything else falls in place, and that is behind God as we look forward to Him. This is how my prayer time has been changing even lately. My prayers have been slowly changing over the months and even over the years. Instead of saying, God, please do what I ask, because I'm only seeing Him as a caregiver. And quite honestly, when I prayed like that, it was only on occasion. It wasn't a real relationship. Please, God, do what I ask. Give it to me. And I've changed the prayer to, God, amaze me. Surprise me. I don't care. You do it, God. I've tried, and I've messed it up, God. When I ask you to do something for me, I'm trying to control you, God. Forgive me of that. And instead, surprise me. You lead me by the fire. You lead me by the cloud. You destroy my enemies. You feed me. You give me the boundaries I'm supposed to be in. Because God, whenever I try to do any of that myself, I walk more and more away from you instead of in line with you. And every time I walk away, even if it's just a little bit at first, and each step I keep going more and more because I try to be in control. And God, it's me, it's my perspective that has fallen away from you. God, bring me back into perspective on who you are. God, surprise me today. That's a good prayer to pray. There's a second challenge for you. Pray that God would surprise you this week. It's praying, God, whatever and whenever. When people who begin to allow God to come as an amazing God, those are the people who will begin to live amazing lives. Let me say it again. If you allow God to be an amazing God, you will live an amazing life. Now, I'm not in conflict with what I said last week. I didn't say a happy life. God didn't come to make you happy. But it will be amazing, an amazing life with him. You want to know why, for many of us in here, families, friends, people that we know, you want to know why we're stuck in addictions? You want to know why we're stuck in depressions? You want to know why we're stuck in the ruts that we're in, maybe steeped in the sin that we sin, repent, sin, repent, sin, repent? You want to know why that happens? Because our God view is not big enough. It's not big enough. Because we're seeing the things instead of seeing God. If you want that stuff to stop, God, amaze me. Go beyond what it is that I can do. I've tried, Jesus, and it's not working. God, amaze me this morning. And God says, let me begin to work in your life. You may not see it all at once right away, because God is changing you and he's changing me. He may decide to give you a complete deliverance all at once. Maybe that's how he's going to work in your life. But I would see this, at least in the story of Israel, that God begins to take us along in stages. And each stage that he takes us in draws us into a deeper depth, a deeper understanding, and a deeper transitional view on who God is. You know what we need to do? We need to start saying yes. Yes, Jesus, you are my caregiver. Yes, Jesus, you are my rule giver. Yes, Jesus, you are my protector. Yes, Jesus, you are my God. Yes, Jesus, you are my leader. Yes, Jesus, yes, 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 yes. Stop arguing with God. Stop. All we have to do is say yes. That's all we have to do. And when we begin to allow this panoramic view of God, and someone asks us about a peanut, that's what it's going to seem like. The biggest problem in the world that you may be facing, it's going to look like a peanut with the size of who God is, no matter what it is. And you will be able to testify and say, when someone says to you, how did you get through that challenge? How did you get through that situation? How did you bring your marriage back together? How did you get out of that financial bondage? How did you break that addiction? How did you get out from underneath the depression? How did you get that breakthrough? You're going to be able to say, you know what? It's in the Bible. It's exactly in the Bible how to do that. And they're going to say, show me the chapter and verse. And you say, you know what? There's 66 books in here. And every single verse somehow, some way points to God. So therefore, I know God. So any challenge and any problem that comes my way, that all falls under God. The more we know God, the more the challenges go away. Because he will take care of it and he will handle it this morning. This is what I want us to do. There may be some in here this morning that say this. You know what, Pastor? I hear what you're saying. But you know what? Even right now, I'm not even positive that I have a relationship with this God that you're talking about, with Jesus Christ. I'm telling you right here and right now that Jesus Christ longs for every single person to come to know him and to find repentance and to find forgiveness and to find that they belong in the family of Jesus Christ. God wants to have a relationship with you. And if you are not sure this morning, if you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, then I invite you right now to begin to pray with me. As a matter of fact, church, I want everyone here just to close your eyes right now. Saints, I want to ask you to begin to pray right now that if there is one in here that does not know Jesus, I'm asking you to pray that the Holy Spirit would begin to speak to them. And if that is you this morning, you're saying, Pastor, I just don't know. I just don't know. I don't know if I have this relationship that you're talking about. This is what I want you to do. I want you to bow your head, and with your heart, I want you to begin to pray this prayer. I want you to say this with me. Jesus, I want to know you. Jesus, I want to follow you. Thank you for dying for me. Say this, Jesus, will you please forgive me of my sin? Say, Jesus, will you make me into a new person? And then put your trust in him. Say, Jesus, I trust you. I trust you with my whole life. Come in and be my Savior. Because that's what you did when you died for me. My friend, if you prayed that prayer this morning, then welcome to the family of God. You now get to begin a relationship with a God that is so big and so strong and so mighty and so vast that there is no way that we can comprehend it. There is no way that we can wrap our arms around it. Welcome to the family. But for you, Saint, this morning, you've been with Jesus. You've been with him for a while. But your view of God has just been too small. I pray that over the last 3 weeks that we've been able to open up, that we've been able to open up scripture, that we've been able to show example, that we've been able to drive it home in application. That the God that we are worshiping in our minds and in our hearts, he's just too small. He's much bigger than that. And I challenge you this week that as you come against whatever it is that the world will throw something at every single person in here this week, it will happen. And when that happens, I challenge you, don't look at the peanut. Look at the God who made the peanut. And turn yourself to God. Whatever the challenge is, I don't care if it's relationship, I don't care if it's family, I don't care if it's disease, I don't care what it is, you turn your eyes to the one who can deliver, and you begin to cry out to him, and use the prayer that says this, God, surprise me. I can't do it, God, surprise me. Heavenly Father, as we come into your presence, Lord, God, I thank you for salvation. God, I thank you, Lord, that we can come to you and that we are even allowed to have a relationship with you because of the work that Jesus did on the cross. That God, that the shedding of his blood offers us forgiveness, not just a covering of sin, God, but forgiveness. I thank you for the forgiveness, Lord, that we are able to begin a relationship with you because of what Jesus Christ did. God, I pray that even now, Lord, for every single person in here, Lord, and every family represented, God, I pray that we cannot get today out of our mind. I pray, God, that you will dominate every single thought today. And then, God, I pray you will carry it to tomorrow and the next day and the next day and the next day until, God, we begin to live in that presence with you, until we begin to practice that presence, that you are so vast that we can't figure you out, that, God, that we can't wait to see what you do next. God, I pray that for this church. Jesus, I can't wait to see what you're going to do next. I don't know. It's not up to me to know. It's up to you. And so, God, I say this, yes. As a representative of this church, God, I say yes. If you're in agreement with me, church, you say it out there too, is yes. God, whatever you say that you want Trinity Church of the Nazarene to be, God, we say yes. You take your bride, and God, Jesus, you present us before the Father. And Lord, we say, I do. Yes, we will. All those vows, God, we say to you, because we want to be the bride that you're happy with, God, that you want to be presented before you, but not just to sit, but Lord, to be ones that goes out and to do what it is, Lord, that you've called us to do. Let us be a Moses to someone that needs deliverance, God. Let us be that type of a church if that's what you're calling us to. Holy Spirit, I thank you for your presence today. I thank you, God, for who you are. Jesus, I pray that you will engage us this week And bring us back next week, Lord, as we continue to worship you one more time. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you all. You may be blessed. Have a great, great week. We'll see you next week.